What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to an episode of Hero or Zero here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. My name is Sean Meehan, and joining me, as always, is my very best friend, Mr. Connor Lawler.
There's no bits.
There's no bits, just truth.
Oh. It's just hard facts.
Hard facts, brother.
Hi, I'm very excited to be here. This is a weird intro when I don't have to do improv, and I feel like it's worse. It's going worse now.
See,
because I don't have to do a bad improv.
Some people, ladies and gentlemen. why don't you tell them why Hero Zero is?
So Hero Zero is a show where we choose one comic book character every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points, so we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. Now, I normally choose DC characters, and Sean normally chooses Marvel characters. Sean, it is your week, because last week I talked about one of DC's just most unluckiest boys, Roy Harper. And so you're up this week, and you obviously have a history of terrible reports and or good reports. It doesn't really go in the middle.
No, I'm ride or die, to be honest.
You're dying reports. If this is your first episode, you don't have to do anything. If this is your second or above, we would really appreciate 5 stars, a like, a follow. The 5 stars on Spotify, by the way, going up, always great to see. Just the 3 dots at the top, you can just rate us there. Same with iTunes. I don't know how that helps, but it does. They like it.
It makes computers happy somehow. So
all want to make the computers happy. That's all you have to do. We have a Patreon as well if you want to head over there and support us. The links are all down below if you want to get access to any of that stuff or our merch and all, blah, blah, blah. But Sean, it is your week. I'm excited about who you're going to do. I've no idea.
So, Connor, I am doing a character today that I'm genuinely surprised we haven't covered by now. I look back in the old archives that are now deleted, and this character's never been covered on Hero or Zero. You've definitely heard of him, and I'm doing some reading on him. He's way more sympathetic than most media would have you believe, because I'm covering a Spider-Man villain today, and I am covering the Rhino.
Oh, Paul Giamatti.
No, see, Paul Giamatti has misled people about the Rhino for far too long.
But he's so good in that role of 30 seconds in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Look, we've all seen the trailer. That's the entirety of his run
trailer. So the Rhino, look, I have to admit, my only memory of the Rhino is the 90s cartoon.
Yeah, which briefly, is pretty good.
Briefly, I remember him. Like, I don't have extensive knowledge. The PS1 video game or PS2 video game.
He's usually the first villain you fight in any
Spider-Man
game.
Well, you fight as the first boss, and then Paul Giamatti. They're my only real interactions with the character. I don't really know anything about him.
Yeah, and he's weirdly... we'll get into it, but he's gone through a few different arcs in comics. He's been around for ages. But Alexei Sitsevich was another Russian thug in the Mafia. Grasping at dreams of easy money and headed for a short, brutal life. They promised him wealth and power, and what he did, he underwent a life-threatening series of chemical and radiation treatments throughout several months, which transformed him into an agent with superhuman strength. Part of this was done is that he wanted to support his family. He was sending money back to Russia at the time to support his family, so he was doing all this mafia work. They also gave him a suit of armor, which was permanently bonded to his body and was modeled after the hide of a rhinoceros. They chose this for its visual impact and in recognition of the fact that the Rhino was the result of countless generations of evolution towards the ultimate form for armored assault. They could have just picked a rhino because it's cool.
Could have just been like, oh, this one has a fucking big horn on it. It actually looks pretty legendary. Let's just do that.
So,
now, in terms of the look, at the time, it's robotic, I'm assuming?
It's like 60s robotic. It looks like a onesie with a rhino on the front of it.
See, I was thinking more like Ace Ventura coming out of the rhino's arse. Kind of material.
It's said that the mob picked Alexei because he was incredibly strong. He had a very muscular physique, but also he had very low intelligence, and they believed that this would secure his loyalties.
Okay, cool. So he's just an idiot.
Pretty much, yeah. He's a big, strong idiot. But he wants to help his family, Connor.
Yeah.
Given the codename the Rhino, his first mission was to kidnap astronaut John Jameson, son of Daily Bugle publisher J. Jonah Jameson.
The Wolfman.
The Wolfman. And sell him to the highest bidder.
Why would they do, like, your first mission is an astronaut? That's what we're doing. We couldn't just start off with, I don't know, maybe a little child that just...
A bank robbery,
Just anything basic. Just a really simple, get a big bag with a dollar sign on it and we do an old little robbery of a shop. No, we're gonna fucking kidnap an astronaut.
So the Rhino made his way towards New York... and then Spider-Man, he was doing little crimes, causing trouble around the place. Spider-Man began trying to figure out how to defeat him, because he's apparently unstoppable. Like, once he starts moving, you can't stop him. He's kind of like the Juggernaut in that way.
I'm the Juggernaut bitch, yeah.
Indeed. Spider-Man discovered two key factors. One, once he began charging, the Rhino couldn't change directions or easily halt his advance. So he can't be stopped, but that's a detriment to him as well.
Mm.
And the second thing that Spider-Man learned is that Alexei was a big dumb idiot. Spider-Man deduced that if he could avoid a direct hit from the Rhino's horn, his superior tactical skills and agility would always leave him the victor in any fair fight.
To be honest with you, thinking about it, Spider-Man's main asset is his agility to move side to side.
Yes, and very good at that.
And Rhino's biggest weakness is anyone with the ability to move side to side.
It's a poor matchup for Rhino.
I would say in terms of trump cards or like are we stats comparison, I'm going to say Spider-Man might have it by a good distance in that he can just walk sideways every time he gets rad at.
Yeah, and that's the end of things then. Yeah. After a few weeks, so Spider-Man defeated him, he was sent to a prison, and he was just kept under sedation, because that was easier than trying to actually, like, restrain him. After a few weeks, however, he did break out of the hospital and escaped, seeking revenge on Spider-Man, who defeated him again, this time using a special version of his web fluid that was acidic, so he just melted the Rhino suit off from him.
Right, okay.
So he was recaptured, tried, and convicted. He served a commuted sentence and was discharged. When he was released, the Russian spies who had transformed him approached him with the offer to strengthen him using gamma rays, Connor. They also developed a new acid-resistant rhinoceros suit.
He must be thinking, God, they've taught him everything. This can't go wrong.
Having no other prospects of employment, the Rhino accepted the offer. The new series
Surely
of radiation
being unemployed is better than having gamma rays in the fucking 70s shot on your body.
But he's an idiot as well. You need to remember
that. That's true. They're like, they're like gamma rays. Yeah, unemployed.
Safe gamma rays. The new series of radiation treatments were successful and they doubled the Rhino's previous strength level. His first mission was to abduct Dr. Bruce Banner so that the Soviets could use him to create even more gamma ray treated superhuman assassins.
Right, okay.
The Hulk easily overpowered the Rhino and Rhino was once again sent to a state facility under heavy sedation and high security.
But he's just like, he's just super strong.
Yeah, he's super strong, can't be stopped.
But okay, and when you say super strong, are we talking like Captain America super strong or Hulk super strong?
Probably like close to the Thing. Like a fixed strength level, but quite strong.
So pretty strong. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he does later. He meets up with the leader who increases his strength even more.
Okay,
like it's power creep. He's just going
to
keep getting
stronger. Because I'm trying to scale it towards Hulk, and I'm like, it's a bit unfair to send him to fight Hulk.
Yeah, but like Hulk gets stronger as he fights, which is the bullshit thing. At a base level, they could be quite similar, but then as it escalates, the Hulk is always going to win in a punching match. So Rhino was again imprisoned, and he had the option of being freed by a character called Miracle Man. The Rhino, however, did not wish to be freed, preferring to seek medical treatment to remove his costume, which was affixed to his skin and he could never remove. With the aid of the thing, the Rhino opposed the Miracle Man and accompanied him back to Project Pegasus, where they transferred him to a medical facility to start removing the suit. He also was hired by the Green Goblin for a time, and he again, the only reason he's doing this crime work is to send money back to his family in Russia. However, his family figures out what he's doing, and they're disgusted to learn the means that Alexei was using to gather funds.
Now he's lost everything.
He's lost everything. He's a man on the edge. Also, the treatments failed to restore him to normal.
Of course, so he's literally with gamma radiation.
He's stuck in the big rhino suit and he's gamma radiated and super strong.
You think, in my head, the rhino suit is on and they're like buttering up his arms and like, just like, we're just going to slide this off, okay? We're just going to, and it's just stuck. Just, they cannot get it, no matter how much butter they use.
The rhino then, he begins working for the Kingpin, but he double-crosses the Kingpin because the scientists that the Kingpin had hired were actually told never to remove the suit.
Ah.
So the Rhino basically confronts the Kingpin on this and they have the suit removed, but the Kingpin threatens Alexei and he ends up getting a removable suit but still works for the Kingpin is the end
of that. So the idea is we'll get the suit off you but you got to work for me if we give you a better suit.
Exactly. Because the Kingpin is just like, I'm in control of this, so this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is a weird little side story before we get into the main Rhino bit. But the Rhino later found himself broke and alone during the holiday season. He stole a Santa Claus costume and made people give him money. He agreed to be a mall Santa, but became volatile when the kids did not get along with him.
You know what? You got to respect that. Sometimes kids need to be told to go shut the fuck up, first of all.
Sometimes a kid is a dickhead.
Sometimes a kid is a dickhead, especially around Christmas. They can get super dicky. And so you need to just maybe say, hey, kid, shut the fuck up, brother. Right? Yeah, we're all trying here.
There'll be no presents on Christmas.
There'll be no presents on Christmas. I'm Alexei, whatever my name is, and I will eat you if you want.
The Sestovic is his last name. The Hulk was there, and a fight ensued in which the Rhino gored the Hulk, is the words that they use.
Oh, okay.
So impaled him on the horn. However, with a little girl crying, the Rhino spent the next few hours at the mall as Santa on much better behaviour.
So wait, he basically stabs the Hulk and then just goes back for his shift after lunch.
Yeah. Pretty much. He also later joins a minor league baseball team wearing a suit of Mecha Rhino armour.
That can't be allowed.
It's not regulation, I grant you.
Surely the other teams have been looking at him going, he's clearly cheating. Like, you can't turn up in a big Mecha suit. I'd just be like, yeah, this is even.
So, when the Superhuman Registration Act came into effect, this is the lead up to Civil War in Marvel Comics, the Rhino saw Spider-Man unmask himself on television. The Punisher later began hunting the Rhino for accidentally killing a security guard during a bank robbery. The Rhino escaped and sent the widow of the victim a badly spelt letter, posing as a police officer her husband had worked with, alongside some money and promising to send her more. So,
right.
He's starting to get out of the game a little bit here.
He's both in and out currently.
Yeah, he's just done crime for so long that he's just tied to a bunch of crime and that's a lot of the work he gets. Mm. But he doesn't want to be a bad guy.
He wants to be a mall Santa.
It's a better gig, but it's very seasonal.
The issue with that is you got a good, strong, maybe 6 weeks, and then you really got to figure something else out.
Yeah. The Rhino decided to give up his life of crime entirely. He surrendered to the police and pled guilty to all charges against him. S.H.I.E.L.D. painfully removed his Rhino costume and he was sentenced to 25 years in Rikers Island. The Russian Mafia and other criminal gangs tried to recruit him, but he denied them all, even going so far as to completely avoid a breakout at one point.
Oh!
For, For his good behaviour and cooperation, he was released early on parole in order to make room for quote-unquote worse bad guys.
Oh my God, he's turning good.
Yeah, I love that trope when a criminal, there's a breakout happening and they're like, no, I deserve to be here. Like,
it's one of those that it can work or else it can make them look like dumb. You got to be very, very delicate with that kind of storyline to be like, I'm smart enough to know that I deserve to be here. Especially for a character that starts as dumb as he does, he needs to go to that growing phase of, wait, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was dumb.
And he was absolutely taken advantage of, but he did also do all of those things.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a whole thing. His first stop when he was freed, his first stop after getting off the bus, was that he went to a diner where the waitress, Oksana, was, like, not mean, like playfully mean with him.
Oh.
Because she knew he was an ex-con, and those were the only clients that ever came into that diner. So she was, like, friendly as a waitress, but she was also, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, not bullying, but just like, eat what you're given, it's better than prison food, all this kind of shit.
Right, so I suppose could be considered dick behaviour from his perspective, but she probably doesn't mean it in a dick way from her perspective.
Exactly, and he doesn't take it like that either, because he's quite entertained by this. He's like, oh, this is just someone shooting the shit with me.
Shooting the shit is a good phrase. You could just get the piss taken out of you.
Exactly, yeah. And she's not afraid of him, which is a big thing. So he pays for his meals and he leaves. He rented a room at a motel and was met by a doctor from a scientific organization who wanted to reinvent him as an all-new and improved rhino. He declined the doctor's offer, went back to the diner and noticed Oksana was in the restaurant crying. He walked over to talk to her and discovered that she had been fired for being mean to the customers.
What?
So Alexei invites Oksana to have dinner with him. They start a relationship. They eventually got married and they lived together in a small apartment in Yonkers.
I thought I was waiting for the moment where she gets blown up or shot or like poisoned or something.
They live quite happily for a while.
just happy life.
Yeah, the doctor eventually found someone else and a new and improved rhino came after Alexei, feeling that he had to destroy the old rhino if he was ever going to take up the mantle.
Okay, makes sense.
Spider-Man helped Alexei keep his new life by defeating the new rhino. However, the replacement once again returned and murdered Alexei's wife.
Okay.
We knew that was coming. A really cool moment. Alexei puts the rhino suit back on and easily kills the newcomer.
Of course he does. You have that moment where like he opens the wardrobe. It's raining outside. There's dramatic music playing in the background. And like the rhino suit is looking back at him. And then he's just like, he's in the funeral clothes. He's just come from burying her. And he's just like, there's only one fucking option now. I got to take this guy out. He's taking everything from me.
Yeah, and I'm not Alexei, like Roy Harper last week, like, I'm not Alexei anymore, I'm just the rhino.
Yeah, I'm just the rhino, that's all I'm good for, because I tried to have a normal life and it got taken away from me.
There was another event, we talked about this in the Ben Reilly report. Ben Reilly comes back as the Jackal and starts cloning a bunch of people, bringing a bunch of dead people back to life and stuff, goes a bit insane for a while. And Jackal gets Alexei to work for him by cloning his wife and bringing her back.
Oh, Ben.
Yeah. Rhino works as a security guard at the Jackal's headquarters, and like, enjoying his time with his wife.
Does she have a personality or is it just
like... Oh, it's like she was never gone. Like,
oh, that's even worse. That's fucked up.
Unfortunately, the rhino was forced to see his loved one die once again when a turn of events in the Jackal's plans led to an audio frequency to be broadcast that made all of the clones break down and die.
So what probably happens is, like, I don't know if he's even involved, but he knows there's bad shit going on and Spider-Man's probably like, this is real bad. We need to stop this. And he's like, yeah, but if I stop them all... that I no longer have her, so I can't do that.
Yeah, and actually, very interesting you say that. So after Oksana decomposed and Rhino grieved motionless in front of the pile of ashes that used to be her, a quarantine team tried to get him to move, and the Rhino went on a rampage. Spider-Man goes to stop him, but doesn't fight him, convincing him to calm down and focus the pain of Oksana's death in honouring her by being the person she would have wanted him to be.
Do you know what that is? That's great Peter Parker stuff too, because that's a part of Peter Parker that I don't think they've really ever tried to get in the movies. But like, comic book Peter Parker is just, it's why he's everyone's favourite growing up, is that like his empathy. That, like, he just wants to be friends with them. If they try to do good, he will just try to do good with them. Even though they might try to kill him later on. But Spider-Man kind of knows he's good enough that he will still survive, even if they try and kill him. So he's like, I'll just be nice to them if they're trying.
That's the thing. There's always the chance that someone can get better. So that's why you shouldn't just kill.
Batman's breaking all of his bones. He's not helping him at all.
Oh, yeah, and just locking him away and then just staying the execution, basically.
It's why Batman, it's why Spider-Man, everyone loves him. Superman probably would do the same, that he tries to help him.
Yeah, like up to a point, and then he'll start snapping necks.
Exactly. Neck snaps.
So the Rhino then willingly surrendered, having set out to move forward. Spider-Man promised to check in on him later, and the two left as friends.
Aw, okay.
The Rhino would then begin to work for the law rather than against it. He ends up joining the Thunderbolts, but would leave the team and share its plans with Spider-Man, because the team had planned to take down the Purple Man, who you might know from Jessica Jones. They had planned to take down the Purple Man by targeting his children. And the Rhino was not cool with this. So he left and just said, hey, Spider-Man, this is what's going on. I want no part of it.
It's one of our favourite character things of, like, the character starts off evil, but he doesn't even know, like, why he's evil. He's just on that side, just trying, and then, like, there's the natural progression that he gets to the point that he actually finally has the happy life, and then it gets taken away and he has a choice. You go back or you go forward. It's kind of the one, I like that character trait that he's like, look, I'm going to try and do good, even if I'm not the same person. Like, I'm not going to be as cool as I once was, because she wants to not be a dick all the time.
Yeah, it's like, I'm gonna actively try to be a better person because of this. And like it's a classic thing, and it's done a lot, and it sucks that often the love interest has to be fridged for that to happen.
But it's super weird, yeah.
Yeah, but it is interesting to see a villain who has been fairly one-dimensional in most media actually has a proper, like, arc in this story.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's not sudden or it's not out of character. This is over years that this has happened. So, in terms of powers and abilities, he has superhuman strength. He can lift approximately 75 tons. He can also reach a speed of 30 miles per hour while running. However, with more gamma, this was increased to 70 miles per hour for short periods. Superhuman stamina, so he can run for 24 hours before fatigue toxins start to build up. And he has superhuman durability, so his own body, even without his suit, can withstand high caliber bullets, extreme temperatures, and also light anti-tank weaponry without sustaining injury.
Right.
He's had very little formal training in hand-to-hand combat, but due to his strength and resistance to injury, he's a formidable fight. He was able to fight against the Hulk for days on end.
Fuck. Jesus Christ.
And in terms of weaknesses, limited maneuverability, he cannot change direction or easily halt his advance, and he also has below average intelligence.
Yeah.
Which often is his undoing, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's the heavyweight. He's the muscle.
That's the thing. And there's a really sad bit is that you see his apartment, and because he's so heavy and he's in the suit all the time, he has to sleep on a bed made of concrete. And he's like, I'm miserable. I don't sleep at all. And he's just really sad. And I'm like, oh, Alexi.
I just want to save you, Alexi.
And I think his pillow is filled with like metal shavings or something.
Oh,
like,
for God's sake, Alexi.
Yeah, it's not great.
I just, we could cure you. I can save you, Alex.
I can fix him.
I can fix him. Well, I didn't know anything about that report. I didn't know anything about that character, by the way. So, like, super cool that, like, a one-dimensional character can still be good, though. And yes. So it's, like, I like a one-dimensional character. It's the fact that they took the time in the recent years to kind of add those layers as well really brings a lot extra to him as well.
I think he's much more interesting as a reformed villain, honestly, because otherwise he's just worse Juggernaut.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that was a pretty great report. If you would like to hear any of the other reports that we've done in terms of Marvel and DC, you can get them all. They're all up here. There's like hundreds of them. We've covered a lot of Marvel and DC characters at this point. So if you have a favourite, maybe have a search. They might come up. If they don't, just message us on the platforms and then we'll try and do a report on them in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we're working through that list.
You can give us a like and a follow all the podcast platforms, but most importantly, just tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
So, I have been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Mayne.
And we shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.